Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel filling in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's take a look today at two of the big sports here in North America. We're talking about basketball and baseball. One season is wrapping up as the Major League Baseball season concluded on Monday, one extra day, in fact, with four teams playing an extra game. Did you know the Major League Baseball season is 162 games long? Well, these four teams needed game 163 to complete the regular season in order to decide the final playoff seeding. But first, let's take a look at a sport that's just getting started for the 2018-2019 season, and that's the National Basketball Association. The players reported for training camp last week, and over the weekend, many of the teams played their first preseason game. None of those games was more important than Sunday's game between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets in San Diego, California. Of course, that game was notable because it was the first appearance of LeBron James in his new purple and gold uniform of the Lakers. The Lakers lost to the Nuggets 124-107, but no one was concerned about the score. In fact, LeBron was asked what it was like to put on the new uniform.
Yeah, it always feels different for me. Anytime you change uniforms, it felt different when I changed, from wearing the same Mary jersey to a Cavs jersey, from Cavs jersey to a Heat jersey, back to a Cavs jersey, and now being a Laker. So it definitely feels different, take a little bit of time getting used to it.
James played 15 minutes and scored 9 points and recorded 3 rebounds and 3 assists. He was looking to make a connection with his new teammates.
I find a rhythm with anybody that is very energetic offensively, and that's a guy who moved without the ball. And, my first assist was to him. They just moved on the weak side, and I was able to deliver a pass to him.
That's LeBron talking about Brandon Ingram, who scored 16 points in 27 minutes. And it looks as if LeBron may have already found a running mate with the Lakers. We're talking about LeBron James's arrival as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers here on the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington. Many reporters wanted to know what the Lakers still have to work on before the season begins.
So it's good to go against a different opponent instead of each other. We knew it was going to be times where we struggle. We've not moved the ball as we would like to. A couple breakdowns defensively. So, but it's good to have those things that you can work on. You have something to look forward to.
That's LeBron James talking about his first game with the Los Angeles Lakers. To continue the conversation, we're joined now by Jeff Zilgit, the NBA reporter for USA Today. Jeff covered Sunday's game and wrote about it for the newspaper. I asked Jeff about what he saw from LeBron and how he'll fit in with the Lakers.
Yeah, well, right off the bat, LeBron can fit in with any team, any style of play, any players. And I think the key thing for this year's Lakers season is seeing how some of his teammates fit in with him. And so right off the bat, one thing I noticed is that Brandon Ingram, who is the slender forward for the Lakers, if he's willing to work hard on the offensive end to get open, cut to the basket, there's no doubt from what we saw in the first game that LeBron James is going to look for Brandon Ingram often during the year. We know LeBron's a gifted passer. He is looking for someone who can get to the basket like a Brandon Ingram, and Ingram has that ability, and LeBron should be able to find him. The other thing that I noticed is that even though Lonzo Ball didn't play, Rajon Rondo did play, and the Lakers have a ton of playmakers who can handle the ball. when Lonzo Ball was in the lineup, he could do that. Rajon Rondo could do that. Brandon Ingram himself could even bring the ball up the court. And what that does for LeBron James is it takes some of the offensive responsibility and playmaking off of himself. And that means he can go down to the low post and be more of an inside player. That doesn't mean he's going to be at the low post and someone else is going to have the ball in their hands all the time. We know LeBron. He's going to want the ball in his hands on the perimeter a lot. But having so many other playmakers, that allows LeBron to not carry such a burden offensively, as we saw him do at times with the Cleveland Cavaliers, especially last season. A couple other quick things I noticed, and Luke Walton, the coach of the Lakers, and LeBron had said this, is the Lakers want to push the ball. I don't want to say this is going to be Showtime Lakers like they had with Magic Johnson in the 1980s, but certainly this is a team that wants to, with some of its younger players, let's throw Kyle Kuzma in there to some of the other names that I had mentioned before. They want to push the basketball, whether it's after a missed shot by the opponent or a made shot. They're looking for early offense, seeing if they can beat the defense down the court and get some easy baskets. And so those are a couple things that I saw right off the bat from this Lakers team. I will put a little tiny bow on it. For all the impressive things that I did see from, you know, LeBron's passing, Rajon Rondo's passing, and this Lakers team has a long way to go before, you know, look, they didn't make the playoffs last year. I fully expect them to make the playoffs this year. But even LeBron acknowledged they're a long way from catching a team like Golden State. And then if we drill down further, the Lakers are still a ways from, you know, beating a team like Houston in a seven-game series. Even Utah is a really good playoff team. If you take a look around, even the team that they played in that preseason opener, the Denver Nuggets, well, the Denver Nuggets won that game. I realize it's just preseason, but Denver has a really talented deep squad as well. And so this Lakers team is definitely a work in progress.
I'm Dan Friedell, and for Sonny Young on the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm joined now by USA Today's NBA reporter Jeff Zilgit. And we're talking about LeBron James's arrival in Los Angeles this year. I asked Jeff about the impact LeBron can have on the culture of the Lakers, even if he doesn't wind up playing for the team for too many more years. He's getting into his mid-30s after all and has been playing in the NBA for about 15 years.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think he's left that impact on players he played with the Miami Heat, players he played with in Cleveland. And this is what it comes down to. You mentioned the word culture. I've asked coaches around the league about that. What does exactly what it means? And the best one I could come away with is when you talk to Philadelphia 76ers coach Brett Brown, when you ask him about culture, he really says it's about behavior. And this is what LeBron is trying to instill, are the habits, the work ethic that is necessary to compete for a championship. You know, do you come to practice ready to improve as an individual and as a team? And are you doing those things in practice that accomplish that? You know, whether it's your individual workouts, in the weight room, on the court, paying attention in practice, going full tilt during practice when necessary. Those are the things we're talking about when we do talk about culture and building those habits to become a championship team. And you see it across the board in almost all of the championship teams of recent years. The Golden State Warriors, they certainly have a culture. There's a lot of not only talented players on that team, but they're also hard workers. There's camaraderie. There's accountability. Those are some of the things. And not only holding yourself accountable, but holding your teammates accountable, not being afraid of criticism, being able to withstand it, criticism from a coach or a teammate, but being able to, when those moments happen, look past that and realize it's for the betterment of the team. And LeBron has that ability to make that kind of impact with this Lakers team for sure.
I asked Jeff how many wins he thinks LeBron will be responsible for this year just by coming to the Lakers. And as a result, will the Lakers make the playoffs this year? Which Western Conference team will drop out if the Lakers get in?
Well, let's take a look at number one of the teams, the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Dan, you talk about number of victories. They had 35 last year, so let me try to answer that one. You know, does LeBron have the ability to put 12 wins on that team? Don't forget, Los Angeles started off, well, the Lakers started off slow last year, started to play better as the season went along, as Lonzo Ball started to get some experience, as Brandon Ingram started developing, Kyle Kuzma was a rookie last year. And so they played much better maybe the second half of the season than they did the first half. And so if you look at 35 wins, is LeBron good for 10 to 12 to put them in that 47 or 46 to 48 range? I think that's possible. And so then, Dan, you're asking me which teams are they targeting. If you look at those Western Conference standings from last year, teams 3 through 8, Portland, Oklahoma City, Utah, New Orleans, San Antonio, Minnesota, they were just separated by two games. Portland had 49 victories as the number 3 seed. Minnesota and San Antonio had 47 victories, and they were the 7th and 8th seeds. And so, you know, if I'm going to pick one team, well, let's take a look at the Minnesota Timberwolves. They have a little bit of turmoil right now. Jimmy Butler has asked for a trade. That's certainly one team that the Lakers could feel that they could catch. The New Orleans Pelicans, while they do have Anthony Davis, and they played really well without DeMarcus Cousins after his injury last year, you know, they won't have DeMarcus Cousins this season. He went to the Golden State Warriors. And then, you know, I'm not sure what the Portland Trail Blazers did exactly to get better in the offseason. So there's the possibility that they may drop a couple of games. It goes back to my point, though, Dan. I said when I was talking about the Lakers, they certainly have a lot of room for improvement. They're far from a finished product, but it's also been a long time. Look, LeBron James has played in 8 consecutive finals, and then he was in the playoffs years before that as well. It's been a long time since one of his teams did not make the playoffs, Dan. I want to go back to either his first or second season in the NBA. So that, we're talking 13, 14 consecutive years of making the playoffs, 8 consecutive years of playing in the NBA Finals. So he certainly will lift that team into position to get into the playoffs. They have their work cut out, but those are a couple of the teams when I look at Portland, I look at New Orleans, I look at Minnesota. But then the West is really, really tough, Dan. You have Golden State looking for their third consecutive championship. Houston took Golden State to 7 games. I'm not sure Houston got better. They lost a couple players. You have Oklahoma City, which looks to be stabilized with Paul George committing long-term. The Utah Jazz are a young team getting better. The San Antonio Spurs, I'll just real quick there, Dan, they won 47 games last year. Kawhi Leonard just played in 9 of them. They trade Kawhi, and they get DeMar DeRozan in return. You could make the argument that while DeMar DeRozan is not a better player than Kawhi Leonard, you could make the argument that with DeMar on the roster and in the lineup, that the Spurs will be better. And then I'm going to throw that one. Not only do the Lakers have to, you know, somehow find a way to knock one of those teams out, I just mentioned that Denver Nuggets team, which is really, really impressive with their group of young talent. And so I look at it, there's probably 10, 11 teams who think they have a real shot at making the playoffs in the Western Conference.
That's my former colleague, USA Today sports writer Jeff Zilgit, on LeBron James and his impact on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA's Western Conference playoff picture for the upcoming season. We'll hear more of the chat with Jeff on Wednesday's show. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're back with a look at the Major League Baseball playoffs. Who says 162 games is too many? Well, not Major League Baseball. It turns out that two teams each in two different divisions finished tied for first place after the last day of the regular baseball season on Sunday. So on Monday, there were a pair of tiebreaker games. The winner of each game became the division winner and advanced to a best-of-five series. The loser of each game has to play another one-game playoff, this time known as the wild card playoff game. In the first game on Monday, the Milwaukee Brewers. If you don't know where Milwaukee is, we don't blame you. It's in the upper Midwestern state of Wisconsin. They defeated the Chicago Cubs 3-1. That means the Cubs are in the wild card game, and the Brewers are guaranteed at least three more games in their season. Let's hear from do-it-all outfielder Christian Yelich of the Brewers.
There's a lot of talented teams here, and it's been hard fought all year. There haven't been any easy division games, and you know, you got to bring it every night. There's a lot of great teams, and for us to be able to come out on top is a great feeling.
That's Christian Yelich, who came up just a couple home runs short of winning the National League Triple Crown, which means leading the league in batting average, home runs, and runs batted in this year for the Milwaukee Brewers. Anthony Rizzo was a key player for the Cubs as they won the World Series two seasons ago. He was not happy to lose the game on Monday.
You let it sit in for a couple minutes. It sucks. You know, it's one of our goals. It was hard fought. We had a good regular season, and obviously we just fell short.
The Los Angeles Dodgers live to fight another day. That's because the losers of the 2017 World Series are back in the playoffs. This time, they'll be in a best-of-seven series against the upstart Atlanta Braves starting Thursday, thanks to a 5-2 win on Monday against the Colorado Rockies. Max Muncy of the Dodgers, who didn't even begin the season in the major leagues, talked about how important it was to win the game and get a couple extra days off.
It's really huge. You know, it's a lot of baseball and a lot of travel in a short amount of time. You know, just being able to have a day or two off to recharge and get ready for Atlanta, you know, it's one of the biggest things in the world.
That's Max Muncy, the power hitter for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Bud Black is the manager of the Rockies, and he chose not to look at the disappointment of losing the bonus game on Monday, but instead to look at the overall season and the fact that the Rockies played so well they managed to tie for the National League Western Division crown.
To take the division race down to an extra game is good stuff. I think the Dodgers would probably say the same thing, that they'd look at it the same way as an accomplishment to be in that position that both teams were today.
To round off the Major League Baseball playoffs, let's take a look at the teams who are sitting pretty in the American League. Those are the division winners, the Cleveland Indians, the Boston Red Sox, and Houston Astros. If you remember, the Astros were last year's World Series champs. The Astros and the Indians start their best of five series on Friday, while the Red Sox are awaiting the winner of Wednesday's wildcard game between the New York Yankees and the Oakland Athletics. As I mentioned earlier, the only series that is set in the National League right now is the one between the Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers, while the Brewers are waiting to see who they will play. That's the winner of Tuesday night's game between Colorado and Chicago. We'll have some more about the MLB playoffs as the month of October continues. We're joined now by my colleague Gwen Uten, who has some news about some sports business and technology. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Tennis great Roger Federer, fresh off his Team Europe Laver Cup win, arrived in Tokyo, Japan on Tuesday to meet with the heads of his new sponsor, Uniqlo. Federer signed a deal with the Japanese company last March after his contract with Nike expired. He told reporters his shared vision with CEO Tadashi Yanai and executive creative director John Jay played a key role in his decision to partner with Uniqlo.
A wonderful company, and not only is it on court, but it's also off court, you know. And John Jay in New York, when I had an event with him there, he said it very nicely. He said, one day I will retire from tennis, but I will not retire from life. So my life will go on, and Uniqlo, Mr. and I have believed in me very strongly as being, you know, very important to their brand, even though maybe my playing days are going to come to an end at some point.
The 37-year-old said once his tennis career ends, he will continue to work through his foundation to help children in impoverished areas gain access to education.
Some people cannot go to school even though they want to. Some people go to school but they have no quality education. And this is where the Roger Federer Foundation has tried to make a difference in the region of Southern Africa. We've tried really hard and we've come a long way. We've done many great fundraising events, and it's something I'm looking forward to partnering with Uniqlo as well in the future, because I do believe, you know, if we team up together, we can help so many children, so many people have a better life.
For their part, Uniqlo said the collaboration is much bigger than sports, and they are committed to staying with Federer long after his playing days are over. On to another partnership. A London-based company has linked with a British sports drink to develop an alternative to water bottles as we know it. They're called Oohoos, biodegradable jelly-like balls that are filled with Lucozade sports drinks and are completely edible. The Oohoo balls debuted recently at a marathon held in southwest London. The runners popped one in and were surprised with a mouthful of refreshing hydration. And the response was, Oohoo!
Fantastic. Plastic-free. Little energy bubble burst in your mouth.
It was bizarre, but such a brilliant idea that I think so long as you know what to expect, it's fantastic.
Really good idea. Really like removing the bottles from the race, because you just take a couple of sips and then you throw it away and people trip over it and it's a total waste. So I think it's a awesome idea.
Developers hope the Oohoo balls will cut down on plastic waste, including the mountains of plastic bottles that are a common sight at running events. So don't be surprised to see Oohoos handed out at your next marathon. Woohoo! And that's all from me. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you, Gwen. I'm looking forward to trying out those Oohoo balls sometime when I'm in the middle of a workout. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and we'll be back with more on the Sunny Side of Sports after this.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
The Voice of America, VOA.
I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and I'll leave you with this note. Kyrie Irving of the Boston Celtics just apologized for saying that the earth is flat. We might have more on that on Wednesday's show. And that wraps up the October 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kale. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, can Africa win the war on corruption? The African Union has declared 2018 the African Year of Anti-Corruption, charting a battle plan to win the fight against corruption on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink.
Yeah, now there's the youth culture that is being practiced by the youth globally.
I feel like the problem is that once the funds are sent to these developing countries, it sometimes gets in the wrong hands, and then it's the actual people that are supposed to be benefiting from these funds really never even get to see.
What does this mean for your local culture? Is it being threatened? Should your parents be worried? Let's talk. This is Upfront of the Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA News.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.